Welcome back to the podcast. We're back. We're back. Just like that. It's back. It was gone, and now it's not gone again. And you know what? That, hopefully, it gives you a feeling of, oh, hell yeah. Like it pops up randomly. I mean, it's great. That's the problem with life. There's not enough spontaneity. There's not enough. You don't get shocked as much anymore as you used to, because things are all overproduced, overscheduled, overpromoted. It's rare that you just bump into something and you go, what the hell is this thing? I've never heard of it. And then you Google it and you're like, wow, Google doesn't even know what this is. That's how the 90s were. You just would bump into shit. You're like, what is this? What is this band? Or you'd see graffiti. Be like, Cool Disco Dan. You know, you're in D.C. You look up. Everywhere you look, you're like, Cool Disco Dan. Cool Disco Dan. Cool Disco Dan. Wow. Who the fuck is Cool Disco Dan? And you can never find out. So it just lingers in your brain for years. Until you meet someone from D.C. and you go, hey, who the fuck is Cool Disco Dan? And they go, oh, that's Dan. He writes Cool Disco Dan. He loves go-go. He sells go-go tapes. And you learn a little bit about Cool Disco Dan. It's like you have a little mini Cool Disco Dan documentary. But it's a documentary of just like word of mouth documentary, you know? Like somewhere out there, there's a Cool Disco Dan documentary happening where it's like just a guy talking about Cool Disco Dan. And I think I'm talking about that because, you know, I haven't done the podcast that much. Other things have been happening, and it's just, I'm looking for things to do creatively in life. Things that I would be really into, like when I did graffiti, I was really into it, you know? With skateboarding, I was really into it. You know, things where weeks wouldn't go by where I wouldn't do it, because I'd wake up and be like, oh my God, I want to do graffiti. Or I'd, oh my God, I want to skateboard, you know? And I don't wake up and go, oh my God, I want to do a podcast. But it's good. So here we are. And we're looking for something new. And just like graffiti, something new will eventually slap me in the face. The reason I mentioned Cool Disco Dan, because I think Cool Disco Dan was probably the first graffiti that I really noticed. That I, you know, you'd see graffiti around, of course, like you ride the L train in Philadelphia, or you're driving through Philadelphia. It just would flow by, you know, like you're driving, you see the colors and they just kind of, you know, you just kind of see them. You'll see a fence, you'll see some white lines. You'll see that it's graffiti. It'll be bubble letters, but you won't really read it. You won't think about it. It won't stick. But when I was in D.C., somewhere around 1991, 92, probably 92, I was in D.C., probably going to see the Grateful Dead, I would assume. In summer, I had my skateboard. I was going to Pulaski Park to skateboard. I remember bumping into Pepe Martinez and watching him skate. And I remember I slept in that park across from the White House. And I remember seeing Cool Disco Dan just everywhere. Everywhere I went, like I'd be skating around and I'd just see Cool Disco Dan tags. And they were just big and in quotes. And they all looked exactly the same size. They were always, like, they were mostly by themselves. They would just be like halfway up a wall, massive, just huge, just Cool Disco Dan. And I swear, like, I never, like, it just didn't even look like graffiti. It just looked like, it felt like a punch in the face, you know? It's something you noticed. You just weren't going to, like, not notice that. Maybe once or twice you wouldn't notice it, but, I mean, it was everywhere. Cool Disco Dan was all D.C., all city, at least where I was. And he was up in, like, high places, low places. Spray paint markers, and it stuck with me, you know. And I didn't even know about graffiti, and I didn't write graffiti. I'm just saying, when I did finally get into graffiti, I remember, oh yeah, Cool Disco Dan. I remember that shit. And I was doing like the dead tour, squatting, living on the streets, skateboarding. And like I said, I never did drugs. I didn't drink. Not never did drugs, but at the time I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't drinking. I was just hanging out. And there were these dudes that worked for the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. This one guy's name was Julius. Or Julian. Yeah, his name was Julian. Tall guy. They'd come out. It was Julian and this girl. I forget her name. But they were outreach workers. And they would just come out and talk to kids. And I remember him talking to me and being like, why are you out here? And I'm like, ah, dude, I'm just chilling. I like to skate. And he's like, are you like against having a job or like an apartment? I'm like, nah, not really against it. I just don't have anything, you know, I don't have a job. And he's like, what if I could get you a job doing what I do? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, what if I could get you a job? Like, you walk around, you talk to kids, you talk to homeless kids, you make sure they're like safe. You can offer them like medical services. You're an outreach worker. You like help people. I was like, yeah, I guess I would do that. And he was like, let me talk to my boss. So he comes back the next day. You know, I'd see him every day. He comes back the next day. I'm hanging out. He's like, I talked to my boss. He wants to meet you. So I go meet Daryl Inaba, Dr. Daryl Inaba, one of the original founding members of the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic in the 60s. I mean, you know, do a little research, look it up. It's everywhere, online, like everything else. But it was basically like these hippie doctors that started a free medical clinic in the 60s, you know, to help the hippies that were like, you know, hanging out and partying and not being responsible and not wanting to be part of the system and all that stuff. So these guys were like, you know what, we need to like, you know, help these people if we can. So anyway, it evolved. Eventually, the free clinic has like 45 different services. It's got like a women's shelter. It's got rehabs, detoxes, clinics, you know, free STD tests. It's got the outreach workers for the youth outreach, da 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 da. So anyway, I ended up getting a job with these guys. And it was like a good look. It was like interesting because I'm from that zone. You know what I mean? Everyone knew me. Everyone trusted me. If I said, hey, they're doing this thing, right? Like the city, they have to do things. They have to, like, for example, they wanted to get everyone on the streets, they wanted to give everyone an HIV test so they could find out roughly, like, you know, if say there's 300 homeless kids living on Haight Street, what's the rate of like HIV? You know, how many kids might have HIV? And also, just obviously, it's good to, you know, it's good to for people to get tested. So, you know, I had to go out there and explain it to people. Say, you know, they're not trying to, you know, kids are paranoid. Kids are doing drugs. Kids are from broken homes where they don't trust, you know, any kind of authority, anything. They don't trust anything. And, you know, someone puts a t-shirt on that says, you know, I'm helping you. If it's, you know, the free clinic, it's not funded by the city. You know what I mean? It worked with the city sometimes, but it wasn't funded by the city. And it was good people, you know, but even though you get out there, there's some paranoid people out there. They're like, get away from me. You're the devil. You're trying to shoot me up with 5G chips. You're trying to like get the simulation into my brain. You're working for the aliens, you know. So anyway, I'm working for these guys. And, you know, still skateboard. And then I got an apartment with my friends. We had a little apartment. And every day I would go to this health food store up there and buy a little snack. And there was this cute girl that worked there. We used to flirt with each other. And, you know, I can't even remember how it happened. I can't really remember anything. But then we started hanging out. And one day we were walking home from her work to her place. And she starts, you know, this is like right away when I first met her. She's like, oh, look at that gray tag. Do you know gray? I'm like, no, I don't know gray. She's like, oh, he's great. He's from Albuquerque. He's awesome. I'm from Albuquerque. Gray's awesome. He's a friend of mine. How about that guy? You know, Gesso? She's like looking, you know, pointing out this wall with like a Gesso throw up. You know that guy, Gesso? No. Yeah, I know Gesso. I know Gray. I know MSA. I'm like, I don't even know anything about graffiti. And she's like pointing it at, she's like, look at that rooftop up there. Yeah, look, that's Reminisce. R.E.M. That's K.R. You know, this is 90, this is 92, 93, 94. I guess it was 94. It might have even been 95, to be honest with you. And she's pointing out all this graffiti, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then we were hanging out at her place, and she's like, she comes out of nowhere with, like, markers and a mop. And she's like, here you go. I want you to have these. I'm like, what is this? She's like, these are paint pens. This is a mop. You just push it against the wall, and you can tag with it. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, you should go out and do some graffiti. I was like, what? That's weird. And then I was like, all right, whatever. And so I went. So I don't know if I told this story, actually. But I went out, and I started, like, I was into iconography. You know, I was a member of the John Coltrane Church. And the Coltrane Church has a, it's an African Orthodox church, and it has just incredible paintings from the, they have an iconographer that, that actually, like, is a member of the church and does all the paintings there. And he's incredible. And if you look up, you know, paintings of St. John Coltrane, you'll see this guy's work. And they had just incredible paintings. So I was really into iconography. So I wrote icon. And I drew these little angels that they had on the doors of the church. These, like, now I know they're from African Orthodox, you know, churches. And Ethiopians use them. I see them on, like, a Rastafarian kind of, they're angels. They're just heads with wings. And they're colorful. They're, like, cartoony. So I was drawing these little guys, these little angels, and writing icon. And I can't remember. It's so interesting because I was already friends with Bigfoot. And I knew Bigfoot from Dead Tour. And he skates. So I knew Bigfoot from skating around. And he was friends with, like, Matt Fields and some of these other dudes. And I think he was the first. I think I was hanging out with this guy, and he was drawing stickers, and I was like, oh, let me draw a couple stickers. And I started to write icon and draw the little angel, and he was like, yo, I've seen that up. And he's like, you know, you, there's another guy who writes icon, and he draws a candy cane. You can't write icon. And I was like, what? And, I mean, this is early, so it's like, it's good that he caught me early, and I didn't put in, like, a couple years worth of work. I was like, oh, it's, you can't, he's like, you can't write the same thing as someone else. That's just, that you just can't do that. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not, like, really writing graffiti. I'm just drawing on stuff, you know? And he's like, yeah, but you can't write icon. You can't write, so I was like, all right, I'll write IC, just I and a C, like, short for icon. And then he was like, no, you can't do that because icon writes, he does IC throw ups. You can't do that. And I was like, shit, dude, what am I going to write? And so I was like, all right, I'll write IC, like I-S-E-E. I'll spell it differently. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. That works. And that's how I started writing IC. But the funny thing is, I still wanted to do IC, like IC, like IC, the letter C. I wanted to do IC throw ups because I just didn't get that you couldn't do the same letter throw up as someone else, or you shouldn't do the same letter throw up as someone else, or whatever, you know, that could be beef or whatever. And so I was, so suddenly I was like writing graffiti and I was into it. I was like going out at night by myself with paint pens. I was writing, for a while, I was writing icons, drawing little things, and I just had no idea that someone would actually see this shit. I really had no idea. And then after Bigfoot, And by the way, me and Bigfoot weren't like, let's go write graffiti together. I didn't even realize, I just didn't have any clue how big it was, that it was a scene, that there's people that do it and other people who see it and people document it. And I didn't think people would be fans of graffiti, you know, or it was an art form or there was anything to it. I was just like, I really enjoyed just going out at night and just kind of fucking around and, you know, always been like an anti-capitalism person. So it's like, it's extremely anti-capitalism. It's like, yeah, steal, paint, write on property that's, you know, quote unquote private property. So I started writing graffiti. And I remember my first throw up that I did. I went out with Chad Light. It might have been his first throw up as well. I'm not even sure how we framed it. I'm not sure if we were like, let's go out and do our first throw up. I just don't remember. The only thing I remember is we went to the Florida Wall, which is this wall that was on Florida. No, it wasn't Florida. Which wall was that? There was a wall. It must have been 16th Street and maybe Harrison. And there was this big wall that was just in the middle of a fenced in lot that was, I don't know, 50 feet long maybe. And it was like a big white wall. And yeah, it was just a big canvas, but they would buff it. I don't know why they would. They would buff it all the time. And I would always go by there later and see Twist would write blank walls equals blank minds. Or blank walls, blank minds. Every time they'd buff it, he'd write blank walls, blank minds, Twisto. And anyway, so Chad and I went there. And, you know, I don't know how much you guys know about graffiti, but when you do your fill-ins, you fill it in first. You fill the letters in first. Like if you're doing a white, you know, bubble letter throw up with a black outline, you do the white can first. You do the letters in white, and then you outline it in black. Maybe that seems obvious, but we did it the other way around. We outlined it first in black, and then we filled it in with white. And you can imagine it looks pretty bad. It looked pretty bad. And then we went behind another building. That was my first one on that wall. Then we went behind another building on 16th Street, like a brick building. And I did my second throw up. And the funny thing is that second throw up that I did behind that brick building, it was there for years. It was there for so long. Sometimes I would just ride my bike by and I'd go back there and I'd laugh and I'd be like, holy fucking shit, I hope nobody sees this shit. It's so bad. It's unfortunate that I just didn't have any understanding about art or graffiti when I first started. I just thought I was just out having fun, like fucking around. And little did I know that people were going to see this shit and care and judge me. You know, I probably would have put a little bit more effort into it. But again, I had no friends that did graffiti. I didn't know anything about graffiti. I couldn't see graffiti. It's literally the same as like going out and doing like a stand-up comedy set if you've never seen stand-up comedy. Even though it's all around you, you might never watch it. You might just think, oh, I'll go up on stage and try to make people laugh. But there's a formula to it. There's things that work. There's certain rules, you know. And I didn't know them, you know. Obviously, one of the rules is fill in first and then outline over top. Okay, well, I didn't know that. So I'm on my way. I get... It's great. By the way, that girl who got me started in graffiti, she was friends with Gray. She was friends with Amaze. She was friends with Gesso. She knew graffiti writers. She was from Albuquerque, which is where Mike Giant's from. I think Gray is from Albuquerque. I'm pretty sure he's from Albuquerque. Tiger's from Albuquerque. I mean, Albuquerque's got some great writers. Two-Face. And the funny thing is, so I start writing graffiti. And I'm still hanging out with her. She's giving me cans of paint. She's giving me paint markers. I'm going out more. I'm starting to see more graffiti. I'm expanding beyond the mission where I live. I'm cruising towards South of Market. I'm cruising towards downtown. I start to get out in the cuts. I see a maze in some. I see a maze and gray. I see twist. I see KR. I start to see, and it's not, this is 94, I think. This is the end of 94. So there was this window of like not much going on, you know? There wasn't this boom. It was the end of like, I think the kind of first boom of graffiti with Twist, Reminisce, KR, Mr. Element, and those guys, you know, Doug One. I think Spy, I think all those guys had like a boom. And then from what I understand, there was like a kind of a crackdown in the city in the early 90s. And it kind of slowed down a little bit. People kind of like slowed down a bit. And that's when I popped up. Right before me was like Orphan and Jace. And then I popped up and I was going out every single day, every night I was going out. I just loved it out there. I loved it on the streets. Riding my bike, not riding my bike. And slowly but surely, I started putting the pieces together. You know, slowly but surely. First graffiti writer I met that I didn't know was Butter. I was just out there tagging. And again, I'm oblivious. Later in life, of course, after you do it for 5-6 years, you start to, you know what a writer looks like. You see someone on a bike. They got a certain look to them. They have a bike. They have a messenger bag on. It's 2 a.m. You're like, oh, okay, this guy's writing graffiti. But back then, I didn't. So Butter, he saw me, obviously. I'm like writing on shit. And this dude comes out to me. He's like, yo, what do you write? I'm like, I write IC. And he's like, oh, shit. You write IC. That's you. And I was like, yeah, you know it? And he's like, yeah, fucking, you're everywhere. You're all over the place. And he's like, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, I write Butter. And I was like, no way, Butter, the hands? He said, yeah. I was like, you do the hands. He used to do Butter throw-ups with these hands. Each hand was like a letter. And they were sick. And he had one. And he was friends with Icon, ironically enough. And it was just an interesting moment where we just said, what's up? He introduced himself. Like, we didn't exchange numbers or hang out. He just said, yeah, I'm Butter. That's me. I think we did a couple tags together. And then he's like, all right, I'll see you around. But it was interesting because I was like, wow, I met a graffiti writer that I know. And he knows me. And I'm like, fuck, people see this shit. People are looking at graffiti. I'm not just out here like wasting time, like having fun. It's a meaningful thing, you know? And I started, I don't know, man, I just started doing more graffiti. I just started doing graffiti. I don't even know. That's the beautiful thing about it. I had no consciousness about anything. I had no goals, no dreams. I had no, you know, I had nothing that I wanted to like accomplish with graffiti. I just wrote graffiti. You know, and I just appreciate that so much about graffiti and about skateboarding, because it was the same. You know, when I started skateboarding, it was just what I wanted to do with my life. You know, and again, like I never had any idea that I could possibly like do something with skateboarding, and which is it's a blessing and a curse. You know, because it's a blessing because you don't get the pressure and you don't have the disappointment of not accomplishing something with your skateboard, but it's a curse because when you're older and you look back, you think, oh, I could have done something with that. You know, I could have been a little bit more aware of where I was and what I was doing. Like with my skateboarding, I mean, I wish I would have like, you know, I had a video camera. I wish I would have filmed more skateboarding. I wish I would have made more content, you know, maybe documented more of my surroundings, done some interviews, tried to get in with like, you know, it was the early days of videos. You know, I could have interviewed people. I could have, you know, worked a little bit more towards you know, utilizing what I was doing and what I had. And, you know, the same with the graffiti. It just like, you know, there was a funny moment where, you know, I just kept going and I kept drawing characters and I kept tagging. My tag finally kind of came together. I kind of, you know, it took me like maybe a year. I met Kramsky, you know, and then we just like clicked and we were just like, you know, I see Kram, 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 just everywhere. And, you know, I just kind of think back and think I could have done a little bit more to connect myself to skateboarding in the art world. You know, I didn't ever get to do skate graphics, for example, which I always wanted to do. I didn't get to do any kind of like t-shirts for people, or I could have like tried to work a collab with FTC or Thrasher or Slap, or all people I was like friends with, you know, or Stereo or any of that stuff, you know. And again, it's good because you don't get that pressure and you don't feel the need to have to do something with your art or be something, you know. You just are doing what you love to do. And the bad is, you know, you wake up one day and it's gone. And which is great, you know. I think that's amazing. I can't remember that song, but it's like there's well, I'm taking my time, I'm just moving along. You'll forget about me after I've been gone. I mean, how fucking great is that lyric? You'll forget about me, I'm taking my time, I'm just moving along. You'll forget about me after I've been gone. And I don't know who sings that song. I mean, I could think about it. Actually, I have no idea who sings that song. And that's, how cool is that? That's life, man. No one's going to remember us. No one's going to, I mean, not no one's going to remember us, but it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter enough to stress about that, you know, try to like, you know, what are you trying to build the pyramids so like thousands of years later people are like, wow, who did that? You know, it's, I don't even know how I got on that rant, but it's just, I'm trying to like embrace that if you do something, you got to do it because you love it. You got to do it for you in that moment, you know. I don't even know actually what, like, you, why do you got to do it? Why do you have to do it? That's a great question. I mean, why? I mean, I loved writing graffiti. When I think back about it, you know, when I close my eyes and I remember, you know, climbing a fence, climbing a rooftop, I can see myself painting. It's joy. I loved it. I loved it. When I went in the tunnels for the first time, oh my God, that, like, the experience, like the experience, finding things, you know, under, you go over, you know, you go over by City College and there's like, you know, you're just like, you're, I don't even know where you are. You're just out there and you're looking in places like you've never been. You're in a little park or something and you see this like kind of cutty area. You see some tags sticking out and there's like, you go to this like underpass, you know, and you find this like weird area that's like under a highway that's all just cement beams and there's just graffiti everywhere. There's a giant piece, there's twist screws, you know, there's some tags and it's, I don't know, man, it's special, you know. It's special to find things that you've never seen before. And, you know, the first time I went into the tunnels in San Francisco, I went into the Safeway tunnel, you know, which is over by Church and Market. At the Safeway, at Church and Market, there's like the tunnels. You can see them. They're right there on the street, you know, where the J Church comes out. And then it goes up to the DeBose tunnels up the road. But I went into the Safeway tunnels first. I went into those first. And I was by myself. And I was like, I don't know, is there like a third rail? Am I going to go in there? Is there security cameras? Is there security? Is there trains that go through at night? Workers? Gangs? I don't know. You just never been in there before. You just don't know. So you just start walking in there and you're kind of scared, you know? You're kind of like, it's the unexpected. What the fuck is down there? But you see tags, right? As you're going in, you see tags. So you're thinking, well, I'm not the first person to go in here, so I'm probably fine, you know? And I remember going in there, and it was like, yeah, there's like these catwalks you can walk on the side. And yeah, you're just walking through there, and you think, how far am I going to go down this tunnel? How far am I going to go? And you want to go the whole way. You want to go all the way. You want to just keep going until you can't go anymore. But I didn't. I went in there and I looked around and I can't remember. I think if you go in there and then kind of cut off towards the left, you walk in a ways and there's like this little opening where there's like a room in there kind of, and everyone's painted on there. And I remember going in there and of course seeing Twist, KR, Amaze, you know, some Reminisce horses, you know, Mr. Element characters. It was kind of like, when I was starting, it was like the same people on every wall, you know. There was a guy named ACI, Pullism, and he'd draw these little wacky characters, like a skate pool with like a guy doing like a boneless out of it or something like that. And yeah, I mean, the beginning of graffiti for me was, you know, exploration, you know, exploration and just, you know, I don't know, like learning in a weird way, like exploring, just discovering like what it was and what it is. And it's so interesting when I think about my own like journey in skateboarding and how it just, I just did it on my own. And I think that's like so interesting to me, you know. I can't think of, you know, anyone else. And then, you know, then when I met Kramsky, of course, he's a DC kid and he knew about graffiti, you know, so it was like an education with him, you know. Oh, did you know you could do this? Oh, did you know you could do this? Oh, check this out. He was the guy who showed me the bus stop keys. He was the guy that showed me wheat paste. He's the guy that showed me marsh ink, you know, pilot pens, just all the graffiti shit, all like, you know, stock tips, fat caps, phantom caps, you know, how to rack, just all that shit, you know. And of course the Kinko's stuff I was talking about before, he had all the Kinko's scams, you know. He's just a good hustler. And that's when shit really just started to go, you know. That's when, and then, you know, he formed the A-Team and all that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's pretty much all I wanted to say. I really wish that I could be more organized with this podcast. I think it's a cool idea. I think San Francisco 1990s, whether it's graffiti, whether it's the DJ scene, if it's skateboarding, even the fixed gear bike scene back then, it was all fresh. It was all like happening, you know. And if I could just organize myself and find a clean way to get interviews, it would just make sense to just continue to try to make this podcast work. So I guess that's, yeah, you know, not to get too deep into it, but yeah, I'm just trying to keep it moving. So just wanted to talk about that. Recently, Gray has been back online, back on social media. Gray PVC, I think, is his Instagram. And I've been chopping it up with him. And, you know, he had some struggles with the drugs and stuff like that. But he's sober now, and he's posting a lot of graffiti content. And been chatting with him about doing an interview. So that would be kind of nice. I also asked him if he remembered that girl who worked at the health food store who got me into graffiti. He says he does remember her, but he can't remember her name. And he can't remember, he doesn't know where she is now. I asked Mike Giant too, but he didn't get back to me because she was from Albuquerque. So, and she knew graffiti writers. I should ask Gesso. I should ask Gesso. Maybe he'll remember. But it'd be great to get a Gray interview. It'd be great to get a Gesso interview. Those guys are my favorites. And man, it's a shame that Orphan passed away because, you know, I mentioned Cool Disco Dan, and Orphan was the Cool Disco Dan of San Francisco. And when I first started writing graffiti in the late 94, Orphan's tags were still, Orphan 93 tags were still everywhere. And he was just such a crusher, such a ruler, and had such a great tag. It was like when you knew what Orphan 93, when you saw it, you knew it. It was like once you saw it like 100 times, you could see it out of the corner in your eye, go Orphan 93, Orphan 93. It had like Mean Streak tags everywhere, paint pen tags everywhere, spray paint tags everywhere. He was an absolute legend, and definitely like my biggest inspiration for street bombing and tagging. He was just everything. You know, I know Ty gets the credit for being the king of San Francisco, but long before Ty was Orphan, and he was undisputed all city ripper. And he's missed. So rest in peace, Orphan. Rest in peace, Ty. And long live whatever that girl's name is from the health food store. The other, one last funny thing about her that I just remembered was, so this is so funny. So we were hanging out for, I don't know, maybe like a month, 2 months. I can't really remember how long it was, but it must have been a while because I was starting to get noticed. This is when, obviously, like around the time I met Butter, people were noticing my tags. And like I said, it's a scene. Everyone's probably asking each other, who's this dude that's coming out of nowhere? Who's this guy I see? What the fuck is going on here? And that girl, she told me, one day I was talking to her and she goes, Amaze and Some and Gray were at my house the other night and they were talking about you. And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, they were like asking, they were asking each other if they knew who IC was, and they were laughing and trying to figure it out, and no one saying, oh, no one knows who this guy is. And then she was laughing because she knew who I was. And I thought that was kind of funny, but then I found out later that I was at a party, I think with Kramsky. So this was during the Kramsky, you know, this was probably like after a year of writing graffiti. But maybe not. Maybe it was less. I can't really remember. But I was at a party. Anyway, I was at a party, and I saw her at the party. I was talking to her, and then she introduced me to some guys. And I wasn't really paying attention. I didn't really notice it. Like I said, I don't know what writers look like or who they are. I literally didn't even notice anything. And it turns out she introduced me to Amaze, Some, and Gray at this party because they were like, yeah, we want to meet IC. We want to know who this guy is. So they introduced me, but they said, don't tell him who we are. Introduce me, introduce us, let us know that he's IC, and don't tell him that who we are. So she introduced me to Gray, Some, and Amaze, but didn't tell me who they were, which was fine. Whatever. That's, it's a scene. We'll get into all that. We'll get into that soon. But, until then, enjoy your life, you know, find something, Mike's fucking up, enjoy your life, find something that you can do, and do it, you know, if you wake up and think, I want to do that, then do it, you know, and if it doesn't make you money, and it doesn't bring you fame, that's all the better, because that means you really like to do it, so do that. And that's the one thing about graffiti that I loved. You know, even when I was deep in it, I was like, yeah, this ain't a job, you know, this ain't bringing me money. There's nowhere to go with this. And that's great. I love that. And so find something that you love. And if it does make you money, that's fine. Do it. Do that as well. That's fine. You're lucky if you can find something you love as much as I loved graffiti and it brings you money. You know, if you love to play basketball and you get really good at it and you happen to make $10 million a year, well, guess what? You're the man. That's great. You're lucky. You found something you love, brings you money. I loved graffiti. Anyway, have a great one.